The audit committee is on April the 9th at 8:30 p.m.
Ooh, hi, Berto. Welcome to the call. We have set up our finance committee meeting for the 9th, so then we need to
reconsider.
Reconsider, or even better, ask. But so audit had set up the 9th for this joint meeting with finance.
Well, could we just continue after the joint meeting in our own meeting?
Wait. Well, it depends on the time. What is the time for the audit?
Berthold put that on. 8:30, he said.
The audit is at 8:30. The auditor is supposed to come in the call at 9:30. So I'm assuming that audit committee is going to go until for a while. The last meeting lasted like 3 hours.
And this is really to do the policies and procedures. This is LaVarne. The policies and procedures manual, where we have mutual assignments. Is that correct?
That was the board mandated motion that the two Berthold committees deal with that stuff, right?
That the meeting is the 9th at 8:30.
All right. Okay.
Well, they're going to have,
Yeah, it was not on the calendar because I checked the KPFTX calendar. But again, this goes back to the same problem we always have in terms of what calendar and where do we really look. Okay, so let's look.
Why don't we have a joint meeting, though? Because, I mean, these are the same issues they're discussing. They are aware of the general ledger issue. They are aware of, policies and procedures that need to be written. So these are the things that they are going to be discussing.
Okay, so is that a good idea? And if there are more issues that we need to talk about, but for this meeting, I don't know if the whole committee should be there, but that would be fine. And if there are other issues that we have not really discussed that we need to follow up and get some type of resolution before the PNB meeting, we can just call a meeting, a continuing meeting. Would that work for us, for the finance committee?
It'll only work if we have scheduled a date to do it because you know how these things fill up. So I think we should have a fallback date in the event that we need to have our own.
Okay.
So wait, you're proposing a joint meeting of audit and finance to talk about the chart of accounts?
That's the question.
Well,
my personal fear is that you get that many people on a conference call and it's just going to be unmanageable. I mean, talking like 25 people.
I don't think we can do that legally, but what was the charge? I'm not remembering what was the genesis of the joint meeting?
It was the policies and procedures in terms of meeting together with policies and to go over the policies and procedures manual. And that was the major, in terms of the action item, that was on Ross Wisdom's list. The auditor's list.
Well, the finance committee and the audit committee should be separate committees.
Right, but this was a specific item, absolutely. So I think that what we had said was that the chair and I guess the CFO and not mandated for the whole committee to meet with audit on this. So we would need to meet as a committee meet as a committee to go over in terms of your policies and procedures, and then meet with audit. So if we're not going to meet until the 9th, then an audit has set this meeting up and without. Go ahead. So we're in a quandary here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading from the minutes of the meeting what the motion was. The PNB direct the CFO to work with audit committee to prepare a draft of recommendations for uniform accounting practices to change the existing policies and procedures, which would remedy inconsistencies noted in general comments of Section B of the January 2007 auditor report. The draft to be presented in 120 days to the PNB for referral to the Finance Committee for review and recommendation, with all recommendations be brought to the full PMB at its mid-year meeting, which means June. Then it was substituted, that the PNB direct the finance and audit committees to meet jointly to review and approve a revised financial procedures manual in accordance with the auditor's recommendations. The manual would be presented for the PMB's approval by the next PMB quarterly meeting. Okay? So that is what is supposed to happen.
Right.
At a joint meeting of the audit and finance committee, and we were supposed to have a recommendation for a whole policies manual ready by April 20th. And that's not going to happen, really. So, realistically, we have to at least start and be able to come to the PMB with a recommendation for how we're going to get that. And the background on this is that some of these recommendations have been pending for a while. And, you know, with all that we have to do, we haven't gotten that done.
Excuse me. Can we move the agenda? And
yes.
I'll just say, since the audit committee set the date for this joint meeting on the 9th, let's just let it go with that. And after we finish, let's decide on the date if we think it's necessary for our committee to meet.
Thank you, Andrew.
Because we'll be on this scheduling thing and going to have to cancel out. Why don't we go back to, since Lonnie's got his group ready, why don't we go back to the proposal or motion that Laverne was making, because I forgot, I didn't quite understand that.
Right.
Fully listening. Let's go back to that and get through this agenda.
Can I make a point of information quickly,
sure.
Thomas?
Go ahead.
The audit committee is meeting on the 9th. They didn't set a joint meeting with the finance committee on the 9th. I thought we were just talking about, since they are meeting on the 9th and we're supposed to meet on the 10th, maybe we can merge that together. But they did not plan to meet with you on the 9th. They're supposed to get in, Joe Wanzala is supposed to get in touch with Laverne to set up a date for a joint meeting. So the 9th is an audit committee meeting as of now.
Okay. Thank you, Berto. That takes care of it.
So we got our 9th meeting, and that means the chair of our committee and the chair of that committee need to get together if we're going to try to comply with that motion that we adopted in January.
Right. That's very good. Okay. So now let's go back.
Put it on y'all to fix that, Jim.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Okay, so
by the way, I possibly could have a draft of a policy for by the 9th, a couple of days before that date, because as I say, we have been working on it.
Okay, very good. And so, but your meeting, you've still set your meeting for the 10th, so that's on. Okay, we can move forward. And so let me just, I think I was speaking. So Nance, back to the, so this is just briefly, so what I'd like to do is like the, what we were talking about in terms of planning, in terms of working with other new partners and those initiatives. So we need to actually get this information to operations, the people who will make these things happen. So
restate
my proposal was to have,
I apologize, and that's me. I messed up. I apologize, everybody. It's Thomas. But restate it so I can. I got confused.
This is the whole conversations that we've had, that Liney has had, and Dave has talked about the RFP and DDD, that all of these ideas and initiatives, that those things will have to happen, will have to be implemented by operations. So as a finance committee, we need to be able to sit or talk with operations to talk about these initiatives, these ideas, and how these things can be implemented in terms of in a planning context to make these things happen. So the idea is that in the July PNB meeting, the idea is to have a meeting with operations, all the unit managers, the GMs, affiliates, archives, and go through these ideas, these initiatives, and put it in that context of planning so that we can actually, so the concept can be communicated and understood and perhaps discussed by the operations.
I second that, so we got to resolve it. I second that.
Okay.
Dave, I'd like to speak to that.
Sure.
My question is really, our role as a finance committee in that. The board passed a resolution already instructing management to work together to deal with some of these things. And I would think that the way that that should go on is that the ED and the CFO should gather their management, and they should be discussing these things. And I would like there to be some interaction. We have interaction with tech on technology. on finance here and whatnot, but I guess what I'm asking is, it seems to me that it's the kind of thing that what should happen is we let the management know that this is the direction we want to see things go, that they work together as the ED and the CFO feel fit to coordinate it to develop those plans, and that they oversee the interfacing, and then they come to us with a plan, and we have a discussion about it. And I think we've already done that. We've already instructed that that happened. They're supposed to come to us with a plan. So I'm not certain what this adds beyond what we do in the meeting otherwise.
That's interesting. So my motion, I'd just like to go ahead and propose that, because basically the whole point, Dave, is that we have spent probably an hour talking about these very things. And, you know, Lonnie has his report that he's done. We have our project goals and ongoing projects and goals. And again, all these ideas need to be communicated again, and they need to be communicated or can be communicated in the context of planning.
Right.
And
I agree.
And putting it in that context will actually make things happen, will cause, you know, for implementation, for monitoring, and for results. And that this is how things happen. This is how things happen. If the operating groups, the operating managers agree with this and want to do these things. So the idea is to have this meeting or this finance meeting to give the finance input in terms of how this can be part of the planning process, because that's how things work. That's how you make things happen, because everyone understands in terms of what they'd like to do, but it's the implementation, it's the plan to make it happen. I mean, like you're saying, they're supposed to come back to what the board to tell us, but finance should be working, and Lonnie is working with these unit managers. And if we put it in, again, in that context of implementation, of monitoring, and of goals, and how this will work within their plan, then this is how you make it happen. And so that's the purpose of this meeting. So I'd like to go ahead with a motion to have that meeting.
You had a motion. I seconded it.
Okay,
you make a
right.
Motion?
Okay, did we get it, Sandra?
If you could just email me the text of your motion,
okay.
Email it to my home email address.
It's SDRI.
SDRLI.
I have it. You're right, I have it. Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Actually, could you copy the whole committee?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
We just went through a process where we were talking about what the audit committee was supposed to do with the finance committee, and it wasn't resolved until we went back to the actual text of the motion. And what I'm not clear about in the meeting that you're talking about is what is intended to come out of that meeting. Are you saying that you want finance committee to meet with the managers and the CFO and the ED in order to do what specifically? Or is it the PNB that you want to have that meeting with them?
Well, it would be a PNB meeting, but it would be a finance meeting with that group, and we would talk about these very initiatives that we've talked about now. Like, you're going to talk about the RFP, RFP and a DDD, and you're going to put these initiatives, I mean, these motions or whatever, out of there before the board. That's for, I guess,
right.
Tomorrow night. So, but this will be
probably
continuing.
Not.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, well, anyway. So, but these ideas, again, let me state it again, that these concepts, these ideas should be contextualized within planning, and that these initiatives to be accepted and to be explained and put into that context is what I believe that we're trying to do and what I believe Lonnie is trying to do to make these things happen. Because to say that, you know, they have this responsibility and they have to come back to us, but if there's no structure to make those things happen, and since we have spent all of this time, like I said, at least an hour this afternoon to do this, this is how we communicate with the operations groups.
But this is Thomas. Can I ask this?
Sure, please.
I can tell by the way the two of you are talking about this issue that the two of you see some substantial difference. And since I'm not in both of your heads, I don't see the great difference. But I can kind of imagine, you know, how would we make this meaningful? You know, how would we make this proposal meaningful? How would we make it, you know, practically applied? So this is my concern, kind of twofold. First of all, we've got this discussion and these general plans that have been presented to us for our consideration in this committee meeting. And if the people in the administration are to wait until the June meeting before we have a discussion, before they act, and then they sit down with us and we learn from them on the practical ins and outs about how these ideas could work, and also they tell us, and we tell them generally what we're looking for, so they're clear on the direction we're trying to go. And in that meeting, within the Pacifica National Board meeting that would be in New York, we come to an understanding. We would have waited, 3 months before we set out our general policy, and then they begin to work. Now, I'm kind of thinking that maybe Dave is concerned that, we got a general idea right here now. Maybe these people in administration should draw from this general idea and form what I think is lacking in what I've been reading in these general statements, a business plan or a practical statement on how we're going to put this into effect. And they lay out how they're going to do it, and they begin the work reporting to us. But then in the June meeting, they come to us, hold themselves accountable to us, the whole board, but by meeting with us as the committee, because we're going to represent the board. And then to the degree we need to refine the policy, we do so on a tentative basis, understanding that the national board would set firm policy. And then also giving them a good idea on what the national board would want done so that they could put into effect. But there wouldn't be a wait of 3 months before we actually start to form a policy. Let's let this be the tentative policy that they will act on, and then in June, we work towards finalizing it, and we'd also oversee it to make sure that they do what we want, not what they want to do. So that's kind of what I was thinking, and that's what I've been seconding. But the two of you clarify for me what you're talking about.
You want to go first, LaVon, or shall I?
Oh, sure. You know, let's try to move on quickly on this, because
I don't need to talk anymore. I'm going to try not to talk. I'm sorry, y'all.
LaVon,
Jay, please, go ahead quickly.
Yeah. I don't have an objection to the spirit of what LaVon's saying. I just don't understand what is intended. I actually agree completely with what you just said. In fact, I think that's what's happening. I think the mandate at the last board meeting already instructs them to go ahead and do that. And there's a clarity from the executives, from Lonnie and Greg, in terms of, you know, we want to see a plan that will increase our presence on the Internet. So what I'm just trying to understand what we are expecting to come out of this discussion, because we've just had this discussion right now about what is supposed to come out of it. And the reason I brought up the motion of the Audit Committee is it was a very concrete thing that says out of that meeting we want a recommendation of a policy manual by this date. And so what I'm trying to figure out in LaVon's motion is, we have that meeting, what is it we're specifically coming out with? And what I'd like is, this goes back to a point I made before, I'd like the relationships to be more than just we get budgets, but we actually get what you said, which is concrete written strategic plans that says this is what we're doing, here are the deliverables, here are the milestones. And then there's a basis for a structured conversation.
Oh yeah, this is smart. You know, this is just what we're saying. I mean, I don't think I'm trying to understand where the disagreement is. Exactly
what
Tom said, just as you said. But we should have it for this board meeting versus in June.
Okay, I second that.
Thank you. Since I was listening, yeah, I'll send it, Sandra. Okay.
Three of us in the core, right?
I don't know.
I don't understand what's being proposed, but I'm willing to defer. I just know that when just a few minutes ago, when we were talking about the purpose of the joint meeting, it moved from chart of accounts to do-tos to other things, and it was only the concrete language of the motion that defined it. But I'll withdraw my objections. I'm up for meetings and talking.
I know I said I'm going to try not to speak, but I think what Dave pointed out, you know, how, you know, we're all busy and we got so many things happening on this board. We need to try to be careful to remember what we are asked, what we're deciding, and stick to it.
Yeah.
But we all make mistakes, so I'm not faulting anybody because I was glad Dave brought up the actual thing. Is that kind of, so we're in accord now?
I need to say something.
Okay.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing, LeVar, we're talking on two different levels. The stuff around chart of accounts, stuff around RFPs, stuff around CBD are tactical implementations of a strategic goal. And what I'm hearing, at least, is that we need to look, say the dirty word, strategic at Pacifica, and bring together the folks who can make an overall strategic initiative work in the various pieces that it might need to be worked. So I was thinking about the July meeting to be the place where we, looking forward to 08, could have a strategic discussion around specific concepts. There are a lot of them out there right now that we need to move strategically. We need to look at different initiatives. And that be the place where the general strategic ideas meet implementation, and you test whether this idea work on an implementation side, and the folks who would be working on the implementation side could be there to respond to it. So that's just a conceptual clarity that I'm as I sift stuff through my head, wondering if that's anywhere close to what is intended.
Bertie, yeah?
Please, Bertie.
I don't understand why we can't separate the idea of working on chart of accounts from strategic planning overall.
Mm.
You know, I know it would be ideal to have strategic plan, overall plan, and so that we can incorporate the work on the chart of accounts.
Mm.
But the work on the chart of accounts should be done right now, and maybe we should have a meeting in D.C., like a 2-3 hour meeting to go over what the staff has done. And I'd like to emphasize that the staff is working 9-to-5 on this, we're getting paid, and we are working 9-to-5 on a regular job, and we're doing this extra. So we don't have much time to do this. So I think the whole idea here is like the staff is going to be doing this. I think we're concerned about what direction should we give the staff. But for the general ledger, we have already told them. We already told them that we want some detail, we want uniformity, and let them present something to us and let's discuss it. And that's separate from the strategic talk. And I think if we separate those two, we can get one done, focus on the chart of account and the GL, get that done. In the meantime, we can think about the strategic planning. And then the policy and procedures, I'm looking at one right here from Ravi Radio, the accounting manual, and then the thing that Lonnie said, policies and procedures. I think everybody should start looking at that. And Lonnie, maybe if you want to revise and look at this,
yeah, I'm doing that right now.
And submit it to the audit and finance committee for review and discussion. And maybe the next meeting should be all about just going over it. And I think we'll get things done.
Okay.
I've spoken
too much.
I'm happy to do it.
I'm sorry, what was that?
This is Dave?
Yeah.
We are not talking about the chart of accounts thing. I thought we dealt with that and the policies and procedures. This is, I think we're talking about a totally separate issue, which is this question of how do we go from the discussion of the sort that Lonnie raised into implementation in our interactions with the staff. We need to implement these far-reaching ideas. And I'd just like to suggest that I think it's the role of the coordinating committee is to structure these board meetings. And I think that with everything that's happening, at least in my mind, it goes without saying that we're going to want to be seeing this stuff. So maybe we can just obviate this by agreeing to send to the coordinating committee a recommendation that the time that we've been devoting to thematic discussions at the June meeting or at the July, the mid-year meeting, be devoted to interactions with the management about how they'll implement strategic planning, and we might request from them written materials as to their existing thinking on that in advance.
Okay, this is Laverne. I'm in the process as I'm listening of trying to like do the motion, so I'll do that. So I would ask that we move the agenda on this, and I don't have any more. Well, I had one more question of Lonnie, and that was just to provide some information, and that was an update on the mail drop. You had provided a spreadsheet at one time. I think Phil had done it for you to show each one of the mail drops, and from the national office, and to see how the revenue is coming in and the expenses. So if you could just give us that update on that, that would be good. And that would, in terms of the revenue for the national office, that would allay any concern that I have about that. And the other concern I have is just like you had listed the unbudgeted items or perhaps the exposures to the budget for this year, and as Lonnie has said, there are perhaps opportunities to this year's budget. So that's just some concerns I have. So can we move ahead? And I think we were having Lonnie we were finishing up Lonnie's report. And I think you
can.
Sure. Okay.
From way back, I had one question I wanted to ask, which is when we're talking about new initiatives in research and development, how are you dealing with the locus at which it occurs, i.e., some stuff is going to happen out of national budgets, some stuff is going to happen out of local budgets. What is your conversation with the managers in their development of this fiscal year budget about how they invest in new initiatives or what new initiatives? And in particular, has there been any discussion about possibly adopting local RFP-type proposals in parallel with what you're talking about doing out of the national budget for research and development?
Well, those are all good points we need to consider. So why don't we actually, when we get into the RFP and stuff, and why don't we take that up at that time?
We should move the agenda, Madam Chair.
Yes. Yes.
I have a quick question on the income statement for Lonnie.
Sure.
Okay.
National office budget is showing that you're projecting you'll spend $140,000 less than budgeted on printing?
Yes.
Are you doing less direct mail campaigns than you'd budgeted for, or is that coming from somewhere else?
Yeah, we're instead of doing $500,000 on this next drive, we're going to do like $300,000. We're cutting back on the volume of pieces that we're mailing. And the reason is we're getting smarter about which lists perform for us. So we do an analysis after each mailing, and we eliminate the lists that don't perform. And so we're mailing to people who the lists that do perform, and therefore we have to actually mail less. And we either come up with the same revenue or even do a little bit better.
So you think you'll hold up your original revenue projections with less expense?
Yeah. See, it's the revenue projection. It's not so much I'm keying to. It's the bottom line. That is to say, the net profit from these mail drops. That's what I key to.
And again, that's why I asked you to send us your spreadsheet, Lonnie, that shows all of that, because we can see that. We can see
he
the
did.
Expenses.
It's part of the report
the
he sent us.
Yeah, it's part of the report, actually. We analyze every mail drop we do. Afterwards, we go pour over it. And, you know, different ways to do it. Sometimes you want to increase your volume if you find a list that's really great. And sometimes you say, that list didn't really work out for whatever reasons. We're going to move to a new list, or we're going to reduce the list that we mail to. But I do it with keeping in mind that you can increase the number of mail drops you do, hoping to increase revenue, or you can reduce expenses by not mailing to non-performing lists. So that's the judgment you're making after each mail drop. But I keep to the bottom line. I have a target there.
That's great. What about the $120,000 variance on your other programming line?
Which one are you talking about? Other programming? Where are we?
Under programming expenses on your January income statement, comparing your current year forecast annual total to the current year budget.
Yes, I'm going to whisper about that one. that variance will go away, and what it is the expenses we've instituted.
Hello?
The new.
Hello.
We've instituted information on TiVo.
Hello.
Some of
Hi.
The,
You're on our conference call.
You're on a your call. Your we can hear you answer your telephone, your cell phone call.
So, Lonnie, you were saying that's money you are going to spend eventually?
Yeah, that's an outstanding. Yeah, we had agreed, as you recall, that National Office will support some of the new shows that we generated. That is from about an information and TVO. Those bills are going to fall due, and we'll have to pay them.
So that actually affects your bottom line. That would change you to a negative variance in your projected bottom line.
No, I forecast. You're talking about other programming on line 1062. I projected, if you look at my course, $109,000, $164,000. I will spend less, but I will spend a good part of it. Yes, that's a savings. So they didn't turn out to be quite as expensive as we thought. And remember, we adopted a new programming protocols, which actually effectively slowed us down in terms of the number of national shows we were going to be putting on, because there's new protocols in place, and that has had the effect of slowing us down. And we are, being real careful with the dollar. But yes, I do anticipate that that variance will hold.
So that is a solid projection that you'll have $120,000 in savings on other programming.
Yes, at this point, I think it just might work. Yes, I do anticipate that hold. If it doesn't, I'll scream and yell and be real upset. But right now, yeah.
And you're saying that's coming from doing programming cheaper rather than doing less programming?
Well, it's both. As I said, we used to do in 1 year 52 national broadcasts, and with a new program coordinator. And with a new protocol around how you do national programming, the net effect is we're doing less national programming than we did last year, and this is showing up as a positive variance. The other reason that you see it there is that we have a commitment to fund certain national programs, Information and TVO, that new program, Spanish language, right? That Spanish language program that's been on the air.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have not been billed for that, and I'm anticipating that we will get billed for it, but it shows up as a current variant, but I think it won't be as much as we had thought that show and some of these other programs will cost. We will have the positive variant, I do believe.
Okay, and Lonnie, I heard someone mention that you had included the spreadsheet on the mail drop with your, I didn't see that. Where would I find that?
Well, in the National Office budget, most of the stuff that you see there on revenue for the National Office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not, I think the person didn't understand. There's a spreadsheet that you actually did that showed each one of the mail drops, showed the revenue, showed the expenses.
Yeah, that's true.
If you could, so if that's what I'm referring to. So if you could just send that, I would appreciate it. If you do an update, you have an update on that, the latest and the greatest?
We're finishing off this first one. We have another one coming out in about 30 days.
Okay. So, when you get that, if you could just send that to the whole finance committee, that would be great. And then we can understand, what the whole point is, that the expenses versus the revenue and where we are with each one of the drives.
Yeah, I keep a running tab most of the time.
Right. Yeah, I know you do. Okay, can we move the agenda?
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on this other programming thing, because you said that now that we have a programming coordinator, we're expecting to spend less on programming.
Brian, I understand, and I understand you have some issues there. You'd like to really address those with Lonnie. However, I think we can ask the committee. I think we really need to move forward on that.
You know
perhaps
what? This committee went off topic
really
for 50 minutes, and you didn't interrupt anyone
Brian,
else.
This is the first question I've heard about the income statement. So this was an agenda item.
No. Jane, I'm sorry. He's asking specifically about the programming and the national program, and he's asked that question. So I would like to move the meeting, the agenda.
I move to extend time to allow this issue to be addressed as it's relevant to the CFO report, up to 15 minutes.
The CFO report is way overdue. Can I ask about time and the remaining agenda items?
Absolutely. Excuse me, Jane. Just a second. Next is we wanted to go over the RFP and DDD projects. We need to talk about those because tomorrow night is the P&D meeting. We need to get to those. So, and the time now is 6:45. So that's like we are 15 minutes from the time that we were scheduled to end the meeting. So, I think the issue, I mean, I would grant it the most 5 minutes. We've talked about it for the last, 5 to 10 minutes already.
You can't limit discussion in committee.
No. That's why we need to have. I mean, you. The
so maybe instead
you
of cutting me off,
to,
you could let me get my question answered, so we could move on.
You know what? Look, I'm not gonna participate in this little tit tat thing that you're doing. But go ahead and so you can put your question in, and then Lonnie can address these things at another time if he can't finish it tonight. So please go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
So, Lonnie, the question was, you said that you're anticipating spending less money on other programming now that you have a national programming coordinator. And I'm curious about it because, to my understanding, the point of having a national coordinator was to start undertaking new national programming initiatives. Where did the savings come in?
Well, what I'm saying, Brian, is that with the programming coordinator in place, that has meant that new protocols around how national programming gets done, who participates, there's a lot more people involved now. So it's had the impact of slowing down the number of national programs we do. And I think I mentioned that we had done 52 last year. We won't do anywhere near that this year. So that's why there will be less programming, less expense.
Can I respond also?
Is that Dave? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just to follow up, the overhead created by the programming policy is an issue. The programming coordinator's position, it was really emphasized that that's not a person who just implements programming. Is they gather together people to have conversations about the way things happen. It's very much like the experience we've had on the Licensing and Distribution Task Force, which is in the process of gathering the broadest possible input, the overhead slows down. It's like when you try and travel the speed of light. As you get faster and faster, you get heavier and heavier, and so it becomes impossible to get there. And that's the dynamic he's talking about.
It's the B word, Brian, bureaucracy.
Okay, are there any other questions, more questions, concerns? Okay, very good. Shall we move the agenda? The next item on the agenda. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry about the time on the calendar. Terry says that the finance reporting delays during the annual audit actually had not been addressed satisfactorily. So although we had approved the agenda, I would ask that the committee allow this to how much time do you think we need to discuss this, Terry?
I don't expect a resolution, but I do want to get it on the table, though.
Okay.
So
I would ask that the committee allow this to go ahead of the RFP and DDD because Terry didn't get a chance to
file's done.
Did not get a chance to contribute to this discussion when I changed when I deleted it from the agenda. So can we just go ahead briefly? And this is an issue you need to address with Lonnie, right?
The resolution has to come from the CFO.
Okay, please.
Yeah, for the past...
I'm sorry, are there any objections? Okay, please, go ahead, Terry.
For the past few years, the annual audit has been scheduled at the close of the fiscal, and the National Finance Office has not provided timely financial reporting during the audit, anticipating some changes in the figures. This has made it pretty much impossible for local finance committees to have actuals for the first quarter in order to prepare a budget reforecast for the PMB, if needed, to revise the budget approved for that fiscal year. My own investigation of Great Plains Accounting shows a capability to have a sample closing that would allow financial reporting to continue monthly, even if the final figures are going to be changed, and that would give finance committees approximations of what will eventually be the finalized figures for those income statements and balance sheets in the first 3 months of the fiscal year. And I, before the end of this fiscal, I'd like the national office to make some kind of commitment to change their procedures so that finance committees can, and the National Finance Committee too, can get monthly reporting in the first 3 months of each fiscal year.
Lonnie?
Sure. But let me go through the process. The National Office does not produce financial statements. What we do is we take the input, which is done at the station level, and we amalgamate it and consolidate it. That's the first thing I understand. We're not entering figures at the National Office for KPFK. It's not what we do, even though there's that myth around it. Somehow or other, we are entering for the station. It's not true. We enter for the National Office. That's our job. So the question is, why don't we have financial statements in, say, September, October? The answer is that normally we would be able to, in most organizations, you'd be able to do it. But we're so decentralized now that, say, if Station A does not finish it, first of all, at the close of fiscals, you don't have all of the receipts, even the invoices don't come in until the end of the following month, which would be the end of October. And sometimes not until November, so you're already into that sort of cycle. Now, what we do do is I will take just what you're suggesting and do pro forma income statements for the first 2 months. I generally will publish October, November, no matter what. September is done with. And I have done that. But you have, at Pacifica Station, that have not gotten their financials together. They have not done their input. And this is true for K. We have a new business manager at K, who is just learning how to do Great Plains. You have a situation at WBAI, whereas you can maybe do a pro forma statement of some accounts, but if you know accounting, you cannot do that with cash. You must know the cash. And the station isn't prepared with a reconciled bank statement. You have a choice. You can publish financial statements that have huge variability, or you can say, I'll wait until I'm reasonably sure of what these accounts will look like. So I've done what my practice is I will have the auditor go actually out to stations where there are issues and have the auditor actually help them get ready for the audit. And so that will take 2 months. So we did do an audit of P. We did an audit of WBAI, the auditor did. And next year, we will be better. But last year, we had a new business manager and change in that office at K. So the accounts weren't up to date. And at WBAI, we had some ongoing issues where it was difficult to identify certain accounts and be assured that they're accurate. In fact, we got tired of waiting and sent the auditors out to do the job. So that's the reason for that situation last year. Next year should be better, and I think we'll do okay. But if we have a new business manager around this system, somebody quits, then we'll have to send someone out to the station, go through the invoices, go all do all that detail work, or really try to get those folks up to speed as soon as possible. And at KPFK, for example, has had three, if not four, different business managers in the last 2.5 years. Station pays a price when you have that kind of turnover.
Hey, Lonnie, what's a pro forma financial statement? What do you mean by that?
Pro forma means that, say, all the invoices aren't in for a given month, but you know pretty much what the salaries are. They don't change a whole lot. Or you know pretty much what invoices are for telephone and the rest of it. So you would create a pro forma, like a sample income statement that's going to be reasonably accurate. We do them, and then you, of course, disclose that to the folks that are reading the statement. And we had a crash in our accounting system, and we were doing pro forma statements for several months. And they're okay. In fact, they were reasonably accurate. They were within 1% accuracy because, believe it or not, even in a large organization like ours, some of the expenses are the same each month. The bulk of the expenses for Pacifica are pretty stable. not much variability in salaries, not much variability in benefits, not much variability in telephone space costs, if there are any. What varies is things maybe like consulting, maybe like fund drive revenue, maybe things like that have the variability and volatility at Pacifica, but not the expenses.
Okay. I just didn't know what you meant by that, that's all.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry it went on too long. Anyway, that's sort of some of the issues. But next year should be better. If they are, I owe you a nickel.
Okay. Can I respond?
Yeah.
Sure, please.
Yeah. That's not the story I got from my business manager, but as long as I'm receiving assurance that any delay in financial reports in the first 3 months of next fiscal will not be because the CFO is keeping the business manager from providing those, then I'm satisfied.
Yeah, well, you know, they can't. I think your business manager is doing that for you, right?
Now, yeah. We're past the first quarter.
Yeah, and we got him up to speed where he could do that. We taught him how to get that done so that he would be able to provide it for your finance committee meetings. We spent a lot of hours with him helping him be able to produce those financial statements for you folks at Kay, in a way that was in a timely way that would help you with your meetings. So we worked hard on that, helping out. Didn't happen by magic.
Okay. Is there an action out of this conversation? Do we need to make sure on the agenda as we approach toward the end of the fiscal year that there's a question about the status and the readiness?
We can address it in October.
October or September, October. Okay. So we'll put it on the agenda, at least the Finance Committee agenda, to as an action to determine the status on that. Okay, great. Are there any other questions, points on this issue? Shall we move to the RFP and DDD? Okay. Yes. So how do we want to do this? Dave, Lonnie?
So why don't we do DDD first, given the hour?
Okay. Although I will say that before we do make that decision, because I think the RFP is also important, I'm not sure. Did that project get sent to the full board? I don't think it did.
No, I don't think you did either. I was asking Greg about it today.
Also, last week, I was supposed to notice a coordinating committee meeting, and because I was in a state of exhaustion from having worked toward a grant, I didn't get it done, so we didn't meet. So I'm not sure that in the coordinating committee report we will be able to bring before, because it's coordinating committees through whom contracts go. I'm not sure we'll be able to bring it, so I've sent to the... and I'll be sending the board a recommendation that we might delay on that. But I still think we should discuss it here.
The purpose of discussing it here is to move toward what?
The motion that this comes out of is a motion that I brought a while ago in the wake of what happened with the approval of the archives funding. And it was a motion that said before... I'll get the exact text, but the basic idea is that you don't identify a source of funds and authorize funding until the finance committee has had a chance to review the intent was to review the financial impact of a proposal, so that, for example, you wouldn't say, well, we're going to take $25,000 from the state to pay for this. And I will get you the text of the motion in just a moment.
Okay.
But basically, what we're supposed to do is go ahead, Lonnie, if you haven't.
There was a financial impact statement. Are we talking about digitization right now?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the motion that defines what we as a finance committee. Here we go. The PMB shall not approve funding greater than $10,000 for initiatives outside of approved budgets without prior review by the PMB finance committee. So my intent in that is that we were supposed to look at funding mechanisms, what budget lines are things coming out of, what's the financial impact, both negative in terms of expenditure, positive in terms of upside. Brian raised some questions on the last call suggested he had a number of other issues and formulated this as a vote by the Finance Committee on whether or not to approve this project. That's not really my understanding of it, but maybe we should start with that, and that would structure the discussion.
Okay.
Has this contract been referred to us by the board?
No, and it that's not how the contracts policy is written. The contracts policy says contracts go to the coordinating committee, and they're brought by the executive. What this says is we're not going to pass a motion to, as a board, to approve it until the finance committee has reviewed it. And the intent of that, to remind, is that what happened at board meetings was people would get in a froth about initiatives that people wanted to do. Someone would come to the board at the meeting and say, we'd like you to fund so-and-so. And the board, wanting to do the right thing, for example, with the archives, we approved $135,000 worth of funding for a rescue project for tapes in distress, but we also approved the funding mechanism without the finance committee ever having looked at it. And so then there was a whole hullabaloo about how do we go back and deal with a funding mechanism that was essentially flawed. And so the purpose of the motion that I brought was to make sure that before the PNB does any such thing, the thing has to come through the finance committee, i.e. people don't show up at board meetings and say, here, let's spend this money, until the finance committee has looked at where it's coming from, how it's coming, and what the impact is.
I guess my question is, who is bringing this to us?
I'm bringing part of our board policy, Brian, is that any motion made at the board level, or even at the finance level, be accompanied by a financial impact statement. That's a motion that's been in place at the board, I think, at least 2 or 3 years. So what you have before you is 2 financial impact statements related to projects that have been proposed that will have a financial impact. The financial impact statement does is it identifies the board motion, if there's one that exists, that motivated the idea. And it also gives a summary of the project, and it gives a line item for the funds can be identified to pay for the project. And that's for the benefit of the Finance Committee and for the board. So financial impact statements are part of current board policy. And so what you have are 2 financial impact statements that follow on from the board's requirements.
So these are pending resolutions that are pending before the National Board, which automatically triggers review by our committee.
The
system you brought up on a previous call, Lonnie, where the board would provisionally approve something it wants to do, then saying, we want to do this, send it to the Finance Committee for review with a financial impact statement, and then do final approval after it passed out of committee, that's not in effect?
Well, that is where we are. The board did approve the concept of the digitization project and the RFP project. And it's embedded in these financial impact statements. I reproduced it there, the motivating board motion. And the review process that we have agreed at finance is that there should be a financial impact statement as well. So some of the details of the project can be seen and reviewed. That's what we have before this committee tonight.
But I'm looking at the board motion that sparked this, what you're calling a digitization project, and it doesn't say anything about a consultancy. It does make mention of satellite radio, which is not addressed at all in the proposal. So I'm curious where you see the relationship between the board mandate and the proposal we actually have in front of us.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
Dave,
this is coming out of a specific thing that I made a recommendation. The executives have authorization to hire people to do things. And they are proposing, the contract policy says if they propose to give a contract, it comes before the coordinating committee. So the motion that says we want you to work with management to develop a plan is the thing that says we want you to do something in this area. We have prior motions on creating the licensing and distribution task force to look at this. So I said to the executives, I said to Greg and to Lonnie, I think that this would be a way to advance that. And I have thought previously raised that point with the board as well. So we went through the process of developing a, and they agreed. They said, well, it would depend on what is being proposed. So we developed a scope of work. It was submitted to them, and they agreed that this was something that they thought that they would like to bring before the board. And so that's what's happening. They're
so
going to bring.
Are we reviewing a proposal from you, from Greg, from Lonnie? Who's bringing this to the committee?
Lonnie is bringing it to the committee, and what you're reviewing is a proposal that was developed by Rob Robinson with me. I was involved in the development of the scope of work, and it's coming to us from Lonnie and Greg, essentially, as something that they feel is worth doing. I mean, I think they feel it's worth doing, or they wouldn't be bringing it.
So, Lonnie, do you agree that you're the one motivating this proposed expenditure?
Sorry, that was Brian Edwards Teekert. Lonnie, please.
What I'm doing is that the board itself, and the motion is reproduced there. There's that no later than the next quarterly meeting, which would be April in this case, Pacifica Management, ED, CFO, and GM, in consultation with foundation attorneys, are hereby directed to develop a plan for the board's action to aggressively establish Pacifica's presence on the internet and satellite. Pacifica's management will work closely with licensing and distribution task force with responses the questions raised in the development plan. This was passed January 27, 2007 by the board.
What I think his question was, are you making the proposal or is Greg or is Dave making the proposal? I guess he wants to know who's responsible for this so he can question and make
is any motion that this board passed has to be reviewed by the finance committee with the caveats and provisos. And a financial impact statement has to be done for review by this.
So you just presented the financial impact statement.
That's what's before us right now.
That's all that's before us.
That's
so the motion's not
before.
So
who is making the actual motion to the board? Because I'm not getting the distinction between this committee reviewing a motion that the board has said it wants to move forward with and this committee actively putting something on the board's plate.
Can I answer that?
Sure, Dave, go ahead. That was fine again.
We are contemplating a contract for something that is outside of a budget line and more than $10,000. The executive.
Who is we?
Well, let him
talk,
man.
The executive director formally is to bring to the coordinating committee information about the intent to enter into a contract before it happens. And the coordinating committee can request, if it feels, prior to the initiation of that contract, full board review. Now, in this case, because there's a conflict of interest, the board, by the bylaws, is going to have to do that consideration. Now, if what you're raising is there a board motion that did this, and this why it's coming to us? Why it's coming to you is because I, in a conversation with Lonnie some time ago, we agreed that the spirit of that motion is that this committee should review such expenditures. And so the executives, like at your station, for example, have a consultant's line item, right? They hire consultants. They enter into contracts with those consultants. But the point of what we're doing is we're saying we as a board want an initiative that moves in this direction. That language, that motion from Wayne, came at the end of 2 hours of discussion about this digital distribution project, okay?
So I'm still confused. Are you saying this is Greg Gumma's proposal?
This is Dave's proposal,
right,
and we're dealing with the financial
Greg,
impact statement. Now, let's move
from
on.
From a formal institutional perspective, it is a proposal being made by myself and Rob that the executive director, Greg Gumma, is going to propose to the coordinating committee as a contract to be entered into.
Can we hold you responsible for its presentation tonight? And if we got criticism, can we hold you responsible for answering the criticisms? Can we do that tonight?
Well, from
you,
my
Dave.
Point of view, yeah.
No, I'm not talking about your point of view. I'm saying so that we can deal with a meeting that on the East Coast is now at 10:15. Are you responsible for the competent presentation of the proposal and answering questions on the financial impact statement?
Just one moment.
Jane, did you have a request?
No, this is kind of going back and forth. I wanted
yes,
to
it is.
There was a little order that could be brought to them.
You know, it seems to be one of those one of those discussions that, you know, if we really got to, like, there was a question, who's bringing the motion forward? Answer the question without anything else, then we can move forward and go to the next question. So, Brian, would you please repeat your question, and then Lonnie or Dave, just give an answer, you know, whoever, what the name is or whoever, and then we can resolve this, then move to the next question.